I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. They say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few moms in your corner. We visit each week with a diverse group of parents for their common sense and savvy parenting advice. Today, we want to zero in on a growing epidemic brought to greater attention by First Lady Michelle Obama's campaign, Let's Move. It's childhood obesity, a condition which could lead to diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, sleep apnea. Remember, we're talking about children here. And on the psychological side, it often leads to a nosedive in self-esteem. Ms. Obama wrote about childhood obesity and nutrition this week in a piece in the Washington Post headlined, A Food Bill We Need. According to the Centers for Disease Control, childhood obesity has more than tripled in the past 30 years, and studies show the highest numbers are in low-income, African-American, Latino, and Native American communities. So we thought this was a good topic to dig into with the moms. To tell us more, we have with us Congresswoman Judy Chu from California. She is a co-sponsor of the Child Nutrition Act. Dr. Gail Nunley Bland, a pediatric endocrinologist and director of the Diabetes Center at Howard University Hospital here in Washington, D.C. Also with us are parenting regulars Danny Tucker and Jolene Ivey. And Jolene, by the way, also offers additional insights as a Maryland state lawmaker. And I welcome you all. Thank you all so much for joining us, moms.
Hey, Michelle.
Thank Hello. You, Michelle.
So Dr. Nunley Bland, I'm going to ask you to start with us because I'd like to ask you what you are seeing over the course of time in your practice.
Well, I have seen children's weight increase over the last 20 years. When I first started in practice, and particularly with relationship to diabetes, it was unheard of for a child to develop type 2 diabetes. That's the type of diabetes that individuals get when they are in their 50s and 60s. And this was a little different from the usual diabetes that I had trained on. And the children have become larger in terms of their weight, and then they begin to take on more adult problems like high blood pressure, elevated cholesterol. You mentioned sleep apnea, where they snore during the daytime, at night, but then are very sleepy during the daytime. The young adolescent girls are having irregular periods. They have a condition called polycystic ovarian syndrome. So these were pretty much adult-type diseases over the last 20 years.
What's the most extreme example you've seen in your practice of a child struggling with this issue?
Extreme example is actually I had one young man who weighed over 500 pounds, and that was extreme. He was so heavy that he could not get on the examining table.
How old was he?
And he was 14.
14. And briefly, before I bring the other guests in, why? Why is this happening in your view?
In my view, well, there have been lots of changes over the last 20 years. One, the children are not as physically active as they once were. We have the video games. We have more TV channels. We have computers. So they're leading a more sedentary lifestyle. Our communities have changed where there are fewer sidewalks, particularly in the suburbs and then in the inner cities. The safety issues that are involved with children being able to exercise. And our portion sizes have increased over the last 20, 25 years. So what was considered an acceptable portion size 25 years ago is now supersized, and it's three times the amount of food that we normally should be eating.
There's so many things going on here. It's interesting how you can even address them all at once. But Congresswoman Chu, let's turn to you. How did you get interested in this issue?
I'm on the Education and Labor Committee in Congress, and I am involved in the Child Nutrition Reauthorization Act. But I am also very concerned because a third of the children in my district in the San Gabriel Valley are obese. Clearly, we have to do something about this.
You know, just to clarify, the Child Nutrition Act was first signed into law by President Lyndon Johnson in 1965, and this bill would reauthorize the act, but it also includes, you know, provisions for school lunches, for WIC, summer nutrition programs, hunger research. Congressman, what are the school nutrition piece? What is it that you're most concerned of with that? I mean, First Lady also wrote about this in her piece.
The Child Nutrition reauthorization would greatly improve and expand the program. It would, for the first time in three decades, increasing reimbursement rate for school lunch programs. But it would also set nutritional standards for food sold in school vending machines and in a la carte lines, and it would expand access to breakfast programs. It would also encourage healthy produce from local farms so that children could get into the habit of eating fresh produce.
And Danny, let's turn to you because you are very concerned about this. I know that in recent years you've made a more intentional effort to exercise yourself for your own sake, but also to set an example for your children. You have a son and a daughter. Your son very involved in sports and team sports, and so weight's not an issue for him. And I know you're concerned about it. What do you think would make the biggest difference in kind of helping you help your daughter stay on track and also with the other moms that you know?
Well, so far they're making a good step with what they're doing now, but I'd like to see more affordable, healthy food. I can take $10 and go to McDonald's and feed my kids for 2 days on a dollar menu. But I go to Whole Foods and $10 won't get me a pack of gum. So, you know, there would be...
Well, two peaches.
Right, which I got to cut in half. But to see, I like the steps, the lunches Imani had talked about just this summer. She saw that transition where at her summer program, they had more healthier lunches, wraps instead of the fried chicken. So it's good to see that because my problem is her when she's not with me or when she's not with an adult to say, don't eat that or get the baked chips or get that. And then and being around her friends who are eating, you know, Utz and all the stuff that they shouldn't be eating.
So the availability of affordable, healthier choices is a real issue.
It's not there, especially if you live like us, single moms, low income, moderate income, working families like us. I can't shop at those places, you know. So I'd like to see that reversed, you know, let the healthier food. Now, I do applaud McDonald's and Wendy's and some of those who are listening to our lawmakers, and thank you all, because they're now giving you and offering you the fruit and the oatmeal on the menus now. And you never saw that before. So there are steps that's being made.
They're offering the apple slices, but with the caramel sauce.
Right.
You know, that's the part that always gets me. Okay, why do we need the caramel sauce? Just asking. Jolene, you're also one of the co-founders of a parenting support group, the Mocha Moms. I wanted to ask, has this been a topic among the moms? I know your kids are older now, but is this something that parents, I mean, where cost is always an issue when you have kids. I mean, who are we kidding unless you're, right, you know, of a very select few. But what are some of the issues in keeping kids healthy and addressing weight and diet issues with kids, the parents that you're talking with?
Well, the first thing that people talk about is having to have healthy choices in your own home. And for some people, like Danny said, sometimes it's hard to do that if you don't have a grocery store and a reasonable distance. For me, that's not the problem. I just have to make the decision in my home. I will not keep potato chips and sodas and those kinds of things. Mostly, I had to do that because one of my kids didn't have an off button. And if he had anything there he shouldn't eat, he would eat it until there was just no more there. And he had a weight problem. But like 3 years ago, he decided on his own he wasn't going to be pudgy anymore. I mean, it was nothing like 500 pounds. That just sounds horrible. And he was fairly active, but he still had a weight problem. And he focused on his own, and he's done it.
Let me ask you, though, about something that Michelle Obama wrote about in her op-ed piece. She talked about bridging the home, not at home gap. She said, even if we all work to help our kids lead healthy lives at home, they also need to stay healthy and active at school. The last thing parents need or want is to see the progress they're making at home lost during the school day. So, Jolene, I wanted to ask you this. You have five boys. And I know you're really busy right now campaigning and so forth, because you are, we mentioned, a state rep. But you're a big cook, and you like to cook, and you cooked, you know, throughout your kids' lives. So was that a problem that you'd have one thing at home, and then when they go to school, they'd see the chips and the soda and stuff and want that, and would undermine the message that you had at home? Has that been a problem?
It was a problem, and what I ended up doing is just making their lunches myself, even though they're big enough to make them their own. You know, they're on their own. I would make their lunch just and not give them money to make them eat the home food instead of the school lunch. Now, school lunches have improved. And I do know that at this point in Prince George's County, 40% of the produce that they get is locally grown. And it's actually cheaper for the school system to have the locally grown produce. So I'm glad to see that there is a demand for healthy food in the school lunches. And between Congress, the state legislatures, and parents, we are seeing a shift towards sodas not being allowed in the vending machines. You know, the kids can't get that during the day. That helps. And the the hormone-free milk that we now have available in the schools, that kind of thing. I think that's going to go a long way because that's about a third of their calories.
There's also the big debate over chocolate versus regular milk, over whether chocolate milk should even be offered, because on the one hand, the industry and some parents will even say, well, whatever gets kids to drink the milk is better than not. And other people say, well, why are you teaching them to need the sugar or the additional sweetener in order to drink it? The chocolate versus non-chocolate debate. I have twins, so, you know, whatever is going to be with somebody, you know, that sort of issue. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Congresswoman Judy Chu, a Democrat from California, Dr. Gail Nunley Bland, director of the Diabetes Center at Howard University Hospital, our parenting regulars, Joan Lean Ivey and Danny Tucker. We're talking about childhood obesity and strategies to address it both at home and at school. Congresswoman Chu, can you just tell us a little bit more about what your constituents are telling you about why they think this obesity issue and what you're seeing yourself in your district? What are the factors that you think are contributing to it there? I mean, Danny's mentioned a number of things, accessible, affordable, healthy choices, a number of things. What do you see?
Well, I think children are tempted everywhere. They're tempted by the fast food. They're tempted by the commercials on television. They're tempted by all the junk foods they see on the way home. And so I think the key to this is nutrition education. And thank goodness our Child Nutrition Act does address this. It enhances it so that children are more aware of the healthy alternatives and also know that eating junk food can be harmful to them in the long run.
But what about the accessibility issue that Danny talked about? Is that an issue in your district? I mean, there are some places, and we've talked about this, that are food deserts is the term that's been used. There are some areas where there is no full-service supermarket. There are many fast food restaurants, but there is no full-service supermarket and things of that. Do you think accessibility is an issue in your area, or do you think it is more a matter of awareness?
Accessibility is truly an issue. So certainly we want to start with the schools and ensure that vending machines and the a la carte items that they offer are truly healthy. So we want to have those kind of standards set.
Dr. Nunley Bland, what's your take on this? And when you think about all the factors that go into the kids addressing the issues that they're addressing. I know you talked about the lack of physical activity, portion size, and so forth, but what do you think? I mean, what do you think would make the biggest difference?
Well, I think that we're on the right track now, and I think the schools are a central component in terms of addressing childhood obesity because children do spend a good portion of their day and time in school. So I think attacking the vending machines, putting more healthier choices, having healthier school lunch menus are the way we need to go. And I'm really pleased that this is an effort involving everyone, the parents, the legislative bodies, the medical communities. It really takes all of us to tackle this problem.
When you talk to the parents, though, of a child who is severely overweight, and you say, look, you know, if you don't fix this child's not going to make it. He's not going to live as long as he should. It's going to have, you know, what do they say?
They are somewhat, you know, amazed. And I think it's sometimes very difficult when you're dealing with children because they seem relatively healthy. They don't have the medical problems, so it doesn't have that urgency that sometimes is needed to really address this. And I try to encourage the parents, when I speak to the parents, that it's just not the child, but it is the family that needs to be involved. And too often I find that, particularly if there is an overweight child, but there happens to be a normal weight child, then they will tell that overweight child, well, you need to exercise, you need to cut back, but then the rest of the family are eating the things that, you know, really they shouldn't eat as well. So I really try to encourage that this is a family effort and that the parents have to be involved with the physical activity. They have to serve as a good role model for the child. And I think that leads to more success in weight control in children.
Are people hearing you, Dr. Gail? Do you feel like people are hearing you?
Some do, some don't. I think it's somewhat annoying to me when I talk to a parent and, you know, I tell them that they need to restrict the junk foods or let's increase our physical activity. They scold the child and say, you know, I tell you you shouldn't eat that, but yet they bring it in the home. Or I tell you you need to exercise, but they're sitting in front of the TV looking, you know, at TV and not physically active themselves. So, you know, in that respect, I really would encourage the family to be the role model. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be very helpful.
Danny, you're known to share a thought or two with other parents in your child's orbit to feel that they're not quite setting the example. Are you seeing any headway in recent years? I know you've made a big effort yourself, yeah. And I applaud
you. It's a lot like
you.
What she said. Thank you.
But are you seeing any progress?
No, because it requires work, and I'm just hoping that, especially my single moms, I know it's not easy. You know what I had to go through to get myself back in shape and to go through it, but we have a carryout on every corner. There's a Danny's, a Eddie's, a Tony's, or something. And it took me an effort to say, okay, you know, we're going to Chopped, or we're going to these places that serve, you know, fresh food, healthier food. And you just have to make that effort. I got a machine in the house. My girlfriend gave me a secondhand machine.
An elliptical. An elliptical,
yeah,
okay,
like,
an exercise machine.
Right, an exercise machine.
I thought it was an ice cream maker.
I got rid of that. I got rid of that. Last thing I got to get rid of is a deep fryer. So I've got to make, you know, it's me making the decisions to, you know, to get out and do things, to take the kids outside of our neighborhoods. And that's what affected most of our African Americans she speaks of in the articles, because we don't have, you know, the choices. And we've got to make our kids and make ourselves go for those choices more.
Congresswoman, I'm going to give you the last word. We only have a minute left. Do you feel that we're making progress here? I mean, some of these numbers are very, very dire.
I feel that we're making progress, and it truly is a village that is helping to change this around. There is a great realization that we need to shift our thinking on this, and we have a call from the very top, from the First Lady, calling on us to make sure that our families are healthy and that our children have a bright future.
Congresswoman Judy Chu serves her Los Angeles area district as a Democrat. She is a co-sponsor of the Child Nutrition Bill. She joined us from her office. Dr. Gail Nunley Bland is a pediatric endocrinologist and director of the Diabetes Center at Howard University Hospital. She joined us from her office. Here with me in our Washington, D.C. studio are our parenting regulars, Jolene Ivey and Danny Tucker. I thank you all so much, and keep eating those fresh fruits and veggies.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.